Well, good morning. It is good to be here. I am still getting to know some of you. Some of you have known for some time. I don't know, how long is it now that you've been connected with some of the churches that... I'm not even sure when we got to know each other, but some time ago, 4 years ago or so. And it's been really good. I just been so blessed how God has... brought us together and this opportunity to minister together. So I do want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's an honor to be here to come and to be part of your gathering, even though we've not been here for the whole part. A little bit of an introduction: who we are. Becky, my wife, and I have been part of Grace and Truth 9, going on 10 years. We were Old Order Amish up until that point. I was 38 years old when we left the Amish, and God had us on a journey before that, and that's where he led us to. 3 years later, we were doing they had an outreach in the city, and we were involved in the Bible study there. Then 3 years later, we started a church, and so at that point, Pastor Dave and myself were ordained, and we started the church in Lancaster City. So Lancaster City has probably... I don't even know. I should know more. Maybe about 100 regular, maybe 20 families or so, maybe a little more. We have some from the city, quite a few from, some had gone from the church in the Welsh Mountain, and since that, many more had come. So that's a little bit who we are. I just thought I'd quick give you that introduction, and you're welcome to come anytime. If you ever come into Lancaster, we'd love to have you and worship if you're in for the weekend. So I won't keep you much longer with introductions, but I just do want to greet you. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate what I see here, the community, the body of Christ. It is so important. We've been traveling a little bit, and we missed a Thursday night service and a Sunday service, and now we're not here this Sunday, but last Thursday night, it felt so good to go back to church. So never take for granted the body of Christ, the people you walk with. It is an incredible blessing to be able to walk with each other through good times and through challenging times, but that's what God designed for us. That's how he's designed it. So I'm going to just turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19, and if you want to turn there with me, I invite you to do that, and then I think we'll stand for the reading of the word, if that's okay. If you're able. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19. So if we could just stand, we're going to read the word of God, and then we'll go from there. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead did not rise. For if the dead did not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then all those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life we have hope, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to stop there for a little bit. We're going to get to this a little bit later. But I guess I want to just share... Paul is addressing something that has come up, and which he's done so many times. But there was an opinion out there that people had, and Paul needed to address this. Like he had too many times in the epistles and the letters to the churches, there was someone needed to address the direction that they were going. And this, they had an opinion, and it wasn't the truth. So the title of my message this morning is going to be Opinion or Fact. And we're going to look into that just a little bit. I guess before I really get into that part of diving into that scripture, I'm going to spend a little bit of time sharing with you what's been on my heart a lot lately. And the reason for this message, I've been sharing along the lines here at the church in Lancaster some, and just have a tremendous burden for where I see the body of Christ has been drifting into in some areas. And I'm not saying that's you. I'm going to say I'm warning you. Sometimes we need warning. Sometimes we need encouragement. I hope you'll get both of that out of this morning as I'm here standing in front of you. We do need to be aware of the things that are going on around us. So the reason for this message is because of that confusion. I feel there's a lot of confusion in the body of Christ and in our nation, but in the body of Christ that many of us just about don't realize what's happening. It's like you're standing on a carpet and it's being pulled out from under you and you don't realize what's happening around us. And this is a shift that I feel has been happening in the last 50 to 100 years that has been a gradual shift. I feel like it's really coming to surface in the last years. I'm going to talk a little bit about a worldview. And we look at, again, when I talk about a worldview and some of the terms that I'm going to bring up this morning, I want you to know that they're all, let's not get too caught up in terminology, so to speak, but that they're all tactics of the enemy trying to bring down the body of Christ, first of all, the people in this nation. So this isn't something that knowledge alone will fix. This is something that we do need to know what our surroundings are. And I just thought of this as we're looking. Sometimes we need to know what our what's going on. I've heard this quote, and I don't even know who said it. He said he reads the Bible and he reads the newspaper, and it's to know what both sides are up to, right? Sometimes we need to know what's happening in our nation. And I'm not here to try to promote any political party or anything like that and saying that's the way to promote Christianity. I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes we need to feel the heartbeat of what is happening around us so we even know what the enemy is up to. So I guess that's what I want to bring this, why I want to bring this up. So it's not about just knowledge this morning. We do need to understand, but then we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to overcome this. As a church, as individuals, and as a nation, we're going to need the power of God. So before I go further, and I might ask you a couple questions this morning. So this is a camp meeting, right? Can I ask a couple questions? How many of you know what I mean when I use the term worldview? Can someone explain? Oh, wow, this is good. What is a worldview? Someone, real quick. Mm-hmm. How you see things, right? It's anybody else, and maybe this is a much bigger topic than just saying what is your worldview. To understand what anybody else have a thought on what worldview would look like. I'm sorry, what was that?
That any religion is okay, just be faithful to it.
Yeah, that would be another worldview, right? As far as, yeah, well, there's a lot out there. But I think the point I'm saying is how we see things, how we're looking at things. That's a worldview. A lot of times your worldview is shaped at a very young age. If you have grown up in a Christian home, you have, for the most part, a Christian worldview. You see things through those lenses. It's the lenses that you're looking at the world and how you see things. So that's I guess, the point I want to bring out. What is a worldview? How do you see the world? What do you see as you as an individual when you look out? How do you see the world? So anyway, what happens when we have the wrong worldview? Is there a problem? I mean, saying we have an opinion, it's not a fact. So think about that. What is right? What is there one worldview? I mean, there's many worldviews, but is there one? What is true, I guess? So that's what I want to talk about. Do we have an opinion or do we know what's foundational and what is the fact? So if we have the wrong worldview, if we've been brought up in that we don't see it correctly, would we say we're in trouble? I would say we're in trouble. We have a problem. Then as we find what the truth is, what is our response? We need to make a correction. Amen? Then we need to, okay, I see it this way. I mean, I guess one of the things that I've been so stirred with is, I'm going to bring a few things. I'm not talking about other churches for any reason, but I want to promote the true church of Christ. And I guess this is why I'm bringing this up. There has been, just in my discovery recently, it has just been, it kind of rocked my boat, if you could say. We're in Lancaster City, and so there is a very liberal Lancaster City. Pennsylvania is, I think, politically more liberal than even Ohio. I think we talked about that yesterday a little bit, some of us. But Lancaster City, there is a movement, just, there's a, I know one of the people involved, and this is why. There was a Mennonite family that we bought the house from. One of their children is very much involved in some of these movements and just very liberal. And there's a Facebook group in Lancaster City saying Lancaster stands up. And it's all very liberal. They're all about abortion. They're all about all these things, and they're pushing their agenda. And they had this meeting when this whole Roe versus Wade thing started coming up in the Supreme Court. They had a meeting. There was 800 people in Lancaster City on the court steps, and they're just all about women have rights. It's all about totally different worldview. And it's just so sad when you see that, you know, some of these people grew up in a very conservative background, so to speak, probably a couple different generations. One of them grew up in a Mennonite home, and I see him on this video, and I'm like, oh. And so then through this discovery is I see part of my journey, I guess is why this is so heavy on my heart recently, is that just in conversation about renting a church locally within a few blocks, I discovered this Mennonite church in our community is totally openly inclusive. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, and maybe my eyes are just being, have you been seeing the shift in the Mennonite in the last years? There's a very liberal Mennonite movement lately, and basically saying the LGBTQ, if I have all that, maybe there's more inclusion, meaning you don't need to repent if you are, if you see, I'm saying if you're, you can be openly gay, you can be, and you qualify for baptism, you qualify for membership, you qualify for leadership, and it's on their website. And so I started looking at this, I'm like saddened, and soon I started discovering there's three Mennonite churches in Lancaster City that are on their website saying, this is how it is. You're fully welcome to come to our church. One of them is flying a rainbow flag, and the other one, and also with a Black Lives Matter on there. This is how they're inviting people. This is their evangelism. Come how you are and stay how you are. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is that you come and be changed for the glory of God. Amen? So before I get too much further, I want to tell you a story of what happened to me some time ago. And I'm talking about a worldview here this morning. And the worldview is how I see things. In 2014, my wife and I started a business back in 2000. We sell wall decor, picture frames, and it started small. And with time, we were privileged to be able to be involved in buying a piece of real estate along Route 30. And we bought this place, and it was in need of a lot of work. We spent a lot of work fixing it up, looking much better. And one thing that I noticed as we moved in, there was a property right beside us that was really in bad shape. And there's some history there. This fellow that takes care of it has had some challenges in his health and mental health, and he's living there with his mom. But the property is very unkept. I mean, we're talking about grass getting very high, and you mow it once a month or whatever, and then, you know, you're out there. And I'm not here to be negative, but I'm bringing a story out. And one thing that you see this, and you look at the way you see your neighbor is, you're like, okay, why is this? One of the reasons was on our property line, there was a pile of garbage there, or just some things. There was an old tire, and there was a concrete block, and then there was a sign stuck in it, and it said, no trespassing. And so how do you think that I would look at my neighbor if I look over there and there's a no trespassing sign? How does that make me feel? I'm like, okay, that's interesting. You kind of keep your distance. The way I was looking at him is like, okay, I'll keep my distance. I don't know. It's just, how do you respond to a no trespassing sign? You want to respect it and all this, and you might have ideas. As time went on, the property we own has a couple apartments, and one of the ladies took care of his mother, and in conversation, she said something about Steve does not mow at all past his property line. He doesn't go any further. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. So the next time I'm out there, I started a conversation about where our property line is. It's not a big deal. It's just right outside my office, and I see him out there working. And I walk up to him, and we start a conversation. Not that we couldn't have conversations, but it was very shallow, and he's kind of keeps it to himself. And we started talking about it, and he says, no, that this is... So you see the pile of garbage here, and you, or the junk, and then there's the property line, and he says, no, that's not where my property line is. My property line is over here. And oh, okay. And then I go, but what about that no trespassing sign? He says, that's not my no trespassing sign. That's your no trespassing sign. I had the wrong worldview. We bought this property. They put a no trespassing sign so people don't turn around in their driveway all the time. And with time, it probably shifted. It was like on a skid and some stuff, and it faces my neighbor. I inherited a no trespassing sign. And I held my view toward my neighbor as it was his no trespassing sign. You see, I had the wrong worldview. I was looking at it completely wrong. Now, what do you think, how do you think I felt now? Well, I know it was action that took place. I got our forklift, I got a skid, and I started throwing stuff on there, and it went in the dumpster because I needed to change. It was my no trespassing sign, and I wanted no parts of that. This is what I'm saying when we see something wrong in our life, do we not need to take action? If we find out it wasn't true, we need to repent. I mean, repentance isn't always like, it's just turning and making the right decision, right? We keep walking. Sometimes we don't need to have false humility or anything like that, but it's like, whoa, I need to change. I changed my view that day. And anyway, that was a quick little story of how I was seeing things wrong. This is what can happen. If we're looking at things wrong, we can get all kinds of ideas. We can start, you know, manufacturing ideas in our mind about our neighbor or about a different worldview or all of these things. You see, my opinion no longer had any value. The fact was, the property line wasn't where I thought it was, and I need to own up to that. So now I needed to get to the facts. It was understanding. It was changing what I could change. By the grace of God, we need to do that with whatever we face. So, an opinion or a fact, what's more important? What's more important this morning? It's pretty simple, right? It's a fact. Like, what is truth? That's what's important this morning. Can we lay that foundation this morning? That's where we want to go. Do we agree with that? We want truth this morning. We want to know the facts. Opinions don't matter. They just really don't. So I want to talk a little bit about how we see the world. If we're looking at some things in the wrong way. I think there's many different worldviews. I'm going to list five or six of them. So just to give you some idea of different worldviews that people might have grown up with. I studied at some. I think you'd get varying opinions, the different ones, but we've heard of atheism, right? Not believing in God. We've heard of being agnostic. Then there's theism. But even within theism, you have Christian theism and Islamic theism, they both would say they believe in God. We would say it's not the same God, but there's two different worldviews even in that. You have the New Age, you have pantheism, you have postmodernism. And if you have studied any of these, I would love to know more. I'm not looking to change my worldview, but I think as we need to know sometimes what motivates people in our nation and why people make the decisions that they do. Personally, what I want to address this morning is postmodernism. How many of you have been studying postmodernism? There's a couple hands. And this is what I'm talking about, church, is we are being swept away and we don't know what's going on. I'm telling you, we don't know what's happening to us. We don't understand why people don't want to go to church anymore. We don't understand what's happening all around us. We're being swept away and we're finding the next generation is thinking differently than what we thought. Can you relate to that? There's things that we don't understand. We talk about marriage or even the universities and, you know, like people don't even want to get married. And there's so much that's going on right now. And it's all by a movement. Much of that is postmodernism. And I will struggle to teach a lot about postmodernism, but it followed a time of modernism when things were modern. The nation, things were going well. It came with good and bad. You know, when there was trains coming in, there was a modern, but there was also some other things slipped in with that. We are now in a postmodern state in the last 50 to 100 years. I urge you, church, to look into this. This will change the way you see some things when you recognize what's happening. And I'm going to address some of these things. I talked about some different worldviews. I am not at all concerned, and I don't think your leadership at River of Life is at all concerned that any of you will go and follow some Islamic movement. Amen. Jim, do you have any struggle with that? That you think any of the people here? No, I don't think so. That worldview is not even something we need to address for the most part. We may need to know, but there is not an interest in here following Islam, is there? There's not even to be an atheist, maybe more. I mean, we have a brother in church that he grew up Amish. His brother went through the universities and came out, and he is now agnostic. This is an Amish kid that grew up. He no longer, and this is what is happening in the universities, many of them today. So, very intelligent, comes out with a degree, and he no longer wants to believe that there's a God. So, those are the things that's happening in the postmodern movement right now. So, I'm not at all concerned that your people here at River of Life want to follow the Islam, Eastern religion or even New Age, things like that. Though it does come up sometimes, I'm concerned for you as a church that you're being faced with postmodernism and you don't even know it this morning. And I'm going to address some of what that is. Postmodernism is this: man cannot know anything absolutely. Does that sound familiar? We can't be absolutely sure about anything. Does that make sense? Do we understand that? Have you heard that? Well, you may have your opinion, and I'll have my opinion, and we're going to get along just fine. There is no absolutes here. What we call a reality or a truth is only an individual's or community's interpretation of what exists. Like my property line, I had my own interpretation. It wasn't a fact. There's a difference. Often it happens like this. A culture tends to drift. Much like when we read through scripture, look at Hebrews. Do we not look at Hebrews? I've heard Dave did a study on Hebrews. Wasn't the challenge that they were no longer putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? They saw Christ as maybe something a little more like an angel. It doesn't bring it out there. It was almost like, well, he wasn't the Lord God. He wasn't part of the Trinity. He wasn't God himself, but he was more like an angel. So then it needs to be addressed. And there's books written in here. You're addressing this. Oftentimes, a culture tends to drift. We see it over and over in Scripture. And then it needs to be addressed. So postmodernism, I think we have been impacted by this and we don't even realize it. I told Pastor Dave back at our church, I said, I feel that this is such an urgent message for this time. And I feel it's so big that I should be learning and not teaching on it. That's how, did you ever get into looking at something and you just realize it is so much bigger than what you can even explain? This is what I feel is happening right now. And, you know, in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, we need to always be ready to give an answer, to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And that's where, like, apologetics has come out of. A lot of it has come out of that verse, being able to defend Christianity. We need to rise up and we need to be able to have an answer for what Christ has done for us with meekness and fear and joy. Like, we need to just have an answer for some of these things. So I'm going to even share some more things, and I think you'll be able to identify the postmodern mindset. It is a whatever mentality. I just addressed that a little bit. You think what you want to, you think what you want to, and it's all okay. Who cares? A little bit like that. And another one is, you've heard this, is history doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. You're trying to erase history. That doesn't matter. We're moving forward, they say. They would say all people are good. All religions are the same. I think, is it Eli? Is that your name? Did you, like, just believe the religion that it's like all religions are the same. They all lead to the same place. This is all some of that. It's like, just you be a good person. You do well in society and bless you and everything's going to be good. These are some of the mindsets. The postmodern truth is this. Truth is relative. Nothing is fixed or absolute. This is what they're teaching in universities today. Nothing is true. Nothing is absolute. You make up your own truth. It's up to you. Doesn't that sound like making your own self a god, maybe? You decide what you want to believe. So this is postmodernism. This is postmodernist truth. Is like, there's no absolutes. There is no truth. No absolute truths. Truth is constructed, not discovered. It's not discovered. You make it up. We don't find out truth. We make up our own truth, and then we're happy, so to speak. People can make, they can construct their own truths that work for them. What is true for one might not be true for you. And what is true for you might not be true for me. Does this ring a bell? Have you been hearing this? I see a hand. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you been dealing with this and not being able to identify sometimes where it's coming from? It is coming from high education and it's trickling down into your home. If you're raising children, this is what they're going to be faced with. Some of these things. Another one is this, is one truth is as valid as another. One truth is as valid as another. And you can change the truth. Isn't this a breakdown of what truth is? Does it sound confusing? It should, because it's from the pit of hell. It is not from God. It's not what he has ordained. We need to get back to absolutes. We need to get back to truth this morning. We need to get away with our own opinions. We need to seek what is a real fact or a truth. We're talking about opinions or facts this morning. Recently, and this is a secular documentary, have you heard of What is a Woman? Have you seen that movement? I don't think it's openly. There's a documentary came out. It's on the Daily Wire or something. I think you have to pay for that, and then you can watch it. My son had bought that subscription just for that, and then I watched it as well. It is incredible content. It is not biblical content. I don't think Jesus or God is mentioned through the whole thing. But this man is on a quest to discover what is a woman. And he goes and travels all over the states and even to other countries. He's over in Africa and asking these questions. And it's all addressing transgender thing and all these things. And, you know, what we're being faced with today is you can decide what you want to be. Well, you feel like I grew up as a man, but I feel like I'm a woman, and then you should be able to change that. This is the things he's addressing. He can't get anybody to answer him in these higher educated areas what a woman is. They won't tell him. They'll say, like, well, it's whatever you decide it to be. Now, come on. Like, do you understand the problem with that? There is no absolute. You can decide what you want a woman to be. And this is what they're teaching. He goes all over the place, and he can't get a person to tell him what is a woman. One of the surgeons he interviews was very much part of what was going on in Trinidad. Some of you might have known when Phil's moved out there, it was known as a sex changed capital of the year. They're doing all this. She was trained under the main person, and they've done like thousands of changes. And I asked Phil sometime, maybe he shared the story. They started praying and they moved out of the area. Praise God. Like, the church still has a place. Amen. Like, we can make an impact. So anyway, she's interviewed in this. I just found it interesting. I looked her up and she was trained by the person that was in Trinidad. And she can't give answers. It's like, well, you know, this hasn't been proven. Yeah, but they don't care. They just want to do this. They want to be their own God. They want to have their own truth. You decide what you want. It's confusion. I've been telling you enough of stuff now. That sounds confusing, right? I guess I'll say this as well. One of the things is and many of you have grown up in a conservative background. I grew up Amish. I grew up in a Christian home. I have a great relationship with my father today. It's an incredible blessing. I don't look at my heritage as a bad thing. I appreciate what I've had. God led us in a different direction. And I guess I find myself in this is, I see people stepping out of the Amish and they're on a journey. One of the things, at one time I would have been like, yes, this is great. I'm not always that way anymore because there's so much out there when you step outside of it. And it's like, no, there's much. Some of you can relate. You have moved on. Like, you see there's so much in a short time you recognize it isn't about being Amish or not Amish. Like, in a sense, you've been sheltered maybe. And some of it was not all bad. I'll say that. There's some that hasn't been a good experience. But a lot of values that were good. So I do appreciate our heritage. And I guess I want to say that. I'm concerned when someone steps out and they don't understand what they're stepping into. Now, we always need to follow Jesus. Amen. I'm not talking like, let him change us. So, but postmodern teaching is this. It's coming at us from every direction. It starts in colleges. It goes to your local public schools. And they say, we're being educated. That's what they say. It comes into your homes. It goes into the local churches. I had spoken to, do any of you know of Israel Wayne? Do you know him? He's been speaking a lot on some of these topics. He's traveling. His mother was Skeet Savage. Do you know anybody of homeschoolers know the word? His mother raised her children as a single mom. He has like 10 or 11 children now. Incredible blessing. He travels all, and he talks a lot about Christian worldview and things like that. And I saw him at a homeschool convention, and I told him we're going on a trip to New England states. And he said, if you like to go hunting, look, hunt for Christians up there. And now think about this for just a little bit. In the New England area, a lot of your universities were Yale and Harvard, and all those were the big institutional colleges. And they went there, Christians went there to learn Greek and Hebrew and get a foundation. Today, they have gone totally woke, if you could say, totally changed away from that. It's changing the society around there, and it's hard to find a biblical church in the New England states, is what he's saying. And I guess what he's saying, it's coming, that's my point. It starts in the universities. It comes down to your local schools. It comes into your homes and your churches. This is what's happening right now with this mindset of this truth is relative and all these things. Francis Schaeffer said this, when it comes into your local churches, it's about as low as society can get. The late Francis Schaeffer, I think he had a voice in the mid-1900s. Some of you might know some of his writings. I don't know much about it, but it's interesting, even then he said that when churches say it's okay to ordain homosexuals, he says we're at a very low point. And this was 50 years ago is what he has been saying. I find it interesting that he said that. He says the church is supposed to be a prophetic voice. Would we agree? We're the one that should be sounding the alarm. We should be the one that's impacting. I'm not saying we need to necessarily get involved in the political realm, but I'm saying we need to be the voice that makes a difference. Our voice, Christianity, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ should impact our neighbor. It should impact those that are in whatever office. We need to be the prophetic voice, not being caving into all of these things. It's church, there's hope. But I'm saying you need to see what's going on around us right now. We need to see this. The problem is postmodernism rejects biblical truth. It rejects it. It's not just saying there's another view. They are actually against biblical truth right now. And there's an agenda. We live in a pagan nation. Church, we don't live in a Christian nation. We live in a pagan nation today. This leads to progressive Christianity. And on my definition of progressive Christianity is a bunch of half-truths. The next time you have a Jehovah's Witness come to your door, ask them what they think about. And I'm not even saying they're progressive Christianity. I'm talking about truth here. Ask them what they think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See how far you get. I'm just saying that, throwing that out there for a little bit. You can't do half-truths. I'm going to say this. Progressive Christianity, if it's only halfway, why would you practice any of it? We want a solid foundation in our homes and our churches. So, really, postmodernism and progressive Christianity are really a doorway out of the church. And that's what we're seeing in America right now. We're seeing a decline in Christianity. So I'm going to say this again. If the biblical worldview is not true, I'm saying it's true. If you have doubts about the biblical worldview this morning, I'm going to ask you why you practice any moral values this morning. That's shocking to say that, is it not? But why would you if it's not true? If it's not true? That's just a question. I'll leave that with you. I hope I didn't bore you with this morning. This is what I have been just, I guess maybe sounding the alarm. I have been, in a sense, all stirred up about it and kind of wrecked about it. And I'm not sure where it's going to take us. I know we've been on a journey talking about some of these things, looking for biblical truth. Let's talk about, and Dave's been preaching on biblical manhood, and he wants to talk about biblical womanhood, I think, next Sunday. Like, let's get back to the foundation of what does this look like, and let's continue to build on that foundation. We need to know what we believe is true, and we need some absolutes in our life. My concern is, what worldview do we have? Again, I'm not concerned that you're going to go after many other worldviews. I'm more concerned about postmodernism creeping into the church and impacting River of Life, impacting grace and truth. I don't care. I'm not Those are the things. Look, I don't know you that well. I don't know. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord this morning, wouldn't you want to give your everything to him? I don't know what your midweek services look like. But I know Tom Rainer says this in one of his books. He says, in the past, if you were considered to be an active member in a church, you were at church 3 times a week. That was what was considered an active member in the church, 3 times a week. Today, people claim to be an active member in a church and they're showing up 2 or 3 times a month. What has happened? What happened? Something changed. Bottom line is we've been influenced by an outside, a secular movement that we can decide for ourselves whether or not how many times we should go to church. The body should gather and to grow. And wow, I think there's so much in body life. Jim Cimbala says this in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. I don't think these were his words, but I know it's in his book. You can tell how popular a church is by who comes on a Sunday morning. You can tell how popular a church is who comes on a Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the pastor or evangelist is by who comes Sunday night. But you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to the prayer meeting. Now, that's a challenging thought. That's a very challenging thought. How popular is Jesus in your church this morning? I had some notes from, and maybe I'll just quote it here rather than, I don't have them on notes, I'd print it out, but there was the decline in Christianity. There in about 10 years' time, there's been about 10% more people claiming they have no affiliation with anything. 10% of Americans' population in 10 years' time, I think it was, went from saying they believe in a God to not. And now they're considered nuns, like N-O-N-E, like I don't believe in nothing. 10%. That's insane. That was from, I think, 2011 to maybe around 2021 or 22. Maybe it was a little more than 11 years. 10% decline on people that said they believe in Jesus. Or on any, and I'm talking any time of, I mean, even I think that included Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, and a lot of those. But they said they have nothing. 10% more in about 10 times. It's happening right with us. I'm going to go back to the scripture. You remember I read a scripture to you this morning? We're going to look at that this morning. I talked enough about what's on my heart. I want to talk about what happens this morning when you take one truth out of scripture. I want to demonstrate that by looking at the scripture. Turn to your Bible. Turn your Bibles again. And I'm going to read it again. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to start at 12 through 19. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? We're hearing people are doubting the resurrection of the dead. That's the point here. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. We're talking there was no resurrection. If in fact the dead do not rise. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then if those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiful. I'm going to bring out 7 points here. What happens if we, starting with taking one truth out of this scripture. He brings up and he addresses the fact that now if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, why are some of you saying there is no resurrection? He's talking about here that there was a, people were starting to say that we don't rise from the dead after we die. That doesn't quite make sense, but anyway, we don't rise from the dead. There was a people saying that there is no afterlife. There is not. So that's the argument. If there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ is not risen. Then Christ is not risen. We're taking one foundational thing out of Scripture saying, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If part of the Bible is not true, there is no resurrection. This part, if there is no resurrection, life after death, then we need to dismiss the resurrection of Christ also. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, we have to also realize there was no resurrection of Christ. And that's what we have hope for. Amen? Isn't that what our life is all about? The next step, point number two, is then our preaching is empty. This would mean, Jim, why did you call me to come here? If there is no resurrection, Christ is not risen, my preaching is empty. Paul's preaching would have been empty. That's his argument, saying Paul's preaching is empty. It's useless. It's worthless. I'm saying ifs here. You have to bear with me here for a little bit. It's not worth your time. It really wasn't worth your time if you're seeking God and coming to a church camp meeting either. You can do whatever you want to then. It's not worth my time preaching to you. It's not worth the five-hour drive here and the five-hour drive back, which we gladly did. But I'm saying if Christ isn't risen from the dead, it's not worth going to church. It's not worth witnessing. It's not worth going on a mission trip. And it's not worth discipling anybody either, if we take that out. The other thing is, point number three is, your faith is empty. If you're going to take a truth out of the Bible and say that there is no resurrection of the dead and Christ has not been risen, he has not been risen, our preaching is empty and your faith doesn't mean anything this morning. That's what starts to happen. If your faith is empty, then what you believe does not mean anything for you. It's relative to whatever you think. It has no purpose to you even, to the world, or to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, faith, this is a positive here. Faith means we're sure of something that we're hoping for, right? Doesn't it talk about, now faith is the assurance of the things that we hope for that will come about, and the certainty that we have, and we can, in a sense, we see what we don't see. That's kind of paraphrasing there. But if our faith is empty, we're not sure of anything and we have nothing to live for. Not only here, but also future. There is no assurance. You don't have faith, you don't have assurance. And then we're found false witnesses. Point number four, the church is a false witness, if you take a truth out of here. The church is a false witness because we said that our preaching is vain, our faith is empty. But now we're saying something is not true and we're false witnesses. One thing is believing in something or not certain about something, but actually proclaiming something. And I'm saying if there isn't a resurrection of the dead and that Christ has not been risen from the dead, he's not been raised up, your faith is empty, our preaching is empty, and the church is a false witness. And you know what happens when the church is a false witness? We're liars. We're a bunch of storytellers. We're phonies. We're frauds. We're con artists. We're a bunch of snakes, so to speak. I'm being a little hard, tough on you guys this morning. I've been tough on our church, too. We're just a bunch of low-life liars, if. I'm using the word if this morning. For if the dead did not rise and Christ is not risen, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Point number five. You're still in your sins, if that isn't in there. we have a problem here. This is a breakdown. I've been talking about a breakdown in society and in the church. If we break down Scripture the same way, we are still in our sins this morning. We have no power to overcome. The power of God is not in us. We are sinful, we are evil, we are wicked, we are immoral, and that's how we are if we're still in our sins. You are not a friend of God, you're an enemy. And by the way, if you're not born again, that's who you are. That is devastating. We are not simply good people that we need Jesus. That's who we are if we've not put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are wicked, we are an enemy of God. And if you are born again, you should do everything to make it known. You should get baptized. You should be active in the church. Or else it looks like you're still in your sin. Do you understand? It looks like you don't care. You need to be a witness. You need to be a prophetic voice. This is what we do. This is how we live. But if there is no resurrection, we're still in our sins. Number six, this is challenging. Then those who have fallen asleep, those that have died before us, are lost if there is no resurrection. The next time you go to a funeral, you say, too bad. There's no hope for them. We'll never see them again. What kind of funeral would that be? It goes on to say, point number seven is, if in this life we only have hope in Christ, if we just believe in him as a historical figure and we think he was a good person that walked the earth, if that's all it is, we are of the most miserable people on the earth. We are the most men pitiful. You guys are very quiet this morning. I don't often teach quite like this. I like to speak life. You may never invite me back again. Probably preaching one of the most depraved. I preached a lot of this to our church, and it was quiet as well. I'm telling you, if it's only about this life, it's a waste of time. I want you to understand that. I might be sounding harsh. I'm hoping I'm giving you some hope here, and I will. Without resurrection, our earthly lives will be a total waste of time. We are not a city on a hill then. We have nothing to offer because we're in our sins. If there is no resurrection and Christ hasn't been risen, you might as well put this on a shelf and no longer go there. You might as well put away the devotionals. You might as well quit going to Bible studies and looking for encouragement in the Bible. There's no reason to go there if there is no resurrection and Christ has not been risen. I'm talking about making Jesus Christ Lord of your life. I did it in a negative way this morning. I broke it down in a negative way. I'm going to ask you, while we're down here, what is your worldview? What do you believe? What do you have hope for? Or are you dabbling somewhere else? I'm not going to let you hang here. That's when my property line that I told you was wrong. I needed to make some changes. Now I'm going to tell you this. There are 7 points I want to address again. Because if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, it's very different. If there is a resurrection from the dead, then we can take the next step and believe that it's true that Jesus Christ, after he died, was raised from the dead. Amen? Amen? Amen. We can believe that. We can have that hope and assurance that, well, if there is a resurrection, then yes, there is an afterlife. And we can believe that he's seated on the right hand of the Father. Number two, preaching has a purpose this morning. Paul's preaching had a purpose. Addressing all of the churches when they were going astray, when we saw a drift, has a purpose. There's a reason and there's a hope here. It's worth your time listening to preaching. It's worth your time. Good, sound teaching and doctrine is worth it. Preach it. It might be okay to ask me to come back. I don't know. I'm just saying it might be okay. I'm just throwing that out there. You don't have to. In fact, it's been a blessing to be here. And I love preaching the Word of God. But now also number three, your faith has a purpose. Now you can believe in faith. Amen. If there is a resurrection, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's seated there with Him in heavenly places. Now we have faith, we have belief, we have a purpose. That makes a difference. Amen. Now we can be a voice. The church now is a witness. The church is a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is what it's all about. The other thing, point number five, if you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sinless in God's eyes. He remembers our sin no more. Doesn't it say He throws it over His back? He throws it in the depths of the sea. You know, He could if He'd really want to. He doesn't want to remember our sin anymore. This is who He is. This is God in His glory, sending His Son, Jesus Christ, and dying on the cross. We've been redeemed then. We've been set free. We are holy. We're set apart. We have a prophetic voice for Jesus Christ. We are a city on a hill. We don't need to hide it anymore. Number six, the ones that have died in faith. Remember I talked about that? There's hope. There's hope. Brother Paul was telling me of a dream or something he had some time ago. And he's like, all the Old Testament people, it's finished. It was all done on the cross. Everybody, it all points to the cross, right? Everything points there. It's finished. It's finished. Isn't that what you said over and over? It's finished. The ones that have died ahead of us, if they believe that there's a Messiah coming and they were putting their trust in Him, it's finished for them. There's a hope they have. And those that have died before us and they had their trust in Jesus, they were saved and we'll see them again. And now we kind of encourage it at the next funeral. We know there's going to be a reunion. We've been talking. I don't know. I don't even know what time I stood up here. So I just excuse me for a little bit. You've been praying for Maribel, right? And I've told you a little bit. I think her middle son, and it's a tragic story. She died of cancer. She has five children with three different men. She then later just came to a vibrant relationship with the Lord. There's consequences for sin in her life in the past. The children are being scattered. It's very devastating in that sense. But she left a legacy. One of the children had a dream in the last week or so. He had texted Julie and said he saw his mom. He saw his mom and just got assurance that she's saying that everything's okay here. And he had hope, this young boy, he's what, 10 years old maybe? Something like that. And he's got this assurance that it's going to be okay. You know, and he sees his mom in a vision. And so he has hope that where his mother went, she's waiting for him. Incredible. So we have this hope. Those that have died in faith, his mom died in faith. You know, we can sing if we have a funeral. You can sing at my funeral. Amen? There's something to sing about. We should now, number seven, I'll say this. We talked about being the most pitiful people on the earth. We should be the most joyful people on the face of the earth. Amen? We have a purpose. We have a purpose this morning. We can have joy this morning. We can shout. We can dance. It's okay. Instead of being the most pitiful, most miserable people, we are of the most fortunate people on the face of the earth because we've met Jesus Christ. If you've met Him, you've met Him. He's changed your life. What the Word of God says, that there, whether or not it's dabbling on a truth, that was there a resurrection or not? And there was a resurrection. And now we believe that Jesus was resurrected. We can be of the most joyful people on the face of the earth. Now, let's take serious about absolutes and opinions and truths. Let's separate all that. Put the garbage aside. Let's lay a foundation. And this is what we're walking on. I want to know biblical truth. I want to see the world through God's eyes. I want to see what he has. There was a young man in our church that spent a week with some of his friends, and in a week's time, they read through the Bible. He came to church, which, by the way, you can do that in about 70 or 80 hours, pulpit rate reading. Did you ever know that? It only takes about 70 hours. He did it with a group of friends. He came to church just lit up. He said, they did it in a chronological order. They found Bibles that were chronological and went through it. He said, I see what God's plan is for redemption all through the Bible. Now, talk about a biblical worldview. You see it differently when we see it through God's eyes. We don't have our own opinions. We don't make up our own truth. We are not God ourselves. We don't have that right. We surrender ourselves and we come to him and we bow our knee to him. Because if we don't bow our knee here on this earth, we will when we see him in eternity. And we will know that he was God. Look, if there is a resurrection, you can believe in healings, which, by the way, Dave shared his healing of being able to sing again and talk. We can believe in healings. We can believe in eternity. I go and prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I'm going to take you with me. Amen? We have a hope and a purpose. We believe in the sanctity of life. We believe in, you know, we believe in these things. There's a purpose. There's a hope for. We believe that marriage issues can be resolved. Amen. We believe that we can overcome addictions and whatever, pornography or drugs and alcohol. We have the power to overcome all of these things because there is a resurrection. And Jesus Christ was resurrected. And he's seated in the heavenly places. And he's interceding on our behalf. This morning, warned you about some things that are going on in this world, in the churches. I broke down what happens when you take a truth out of the Bible. And I laid out what happens when you let the truth there. Is there a difference? I hope you went on an emotional ride with me this morning. Because it is a huge difference this morning. This is where life is, church. It's in Jesus Christ. Let's stand and pray. I think Dave is taking from here. Maybe you have something. Maybe you have your own boundary line somewhere. You might have a trash pile of your own somewhere, and you're not sure what to do with it. Let's give that to Jesus this morning. Let's give him that. Maybe you feel like, in a sense, life is meaningless, or you have lost purpose, or maybe there's a family member that you're not sure where they're going to or what they're doing. Let's believe there's a biblical truth, and you praying will make a difference. Let's believe that. Let's take this time and just come to God, and if you want to pray with me, we're just all going to just cry out to God and believe and lay a foundation that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has been risen from the dead. Yes, Lord, we just come to you this morning, and we bless your name, and we praise your name. Lord, we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. We believe that he is you, Lord Jesus. You are God. You are the one that has come as in a form of a man to demonstrate who you are, and then died and rose again. You have demonstrated the supernatural, and we believe that it's here for us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anyone doesn't know Jesus, please talk to your ministry. Please talk to, I'd love to pray with you if you're not sure who he is, or if you're on a journey. Let's walk together. Let's bring life, because that's what Jesus Christ is. That's what the church is. Amen. You may be seated. I think Dave is taking the time from here. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your time together as a church, and come sometime and visit our church in Lancaster.